the economy of the tide. Now, I want to be very clear. I have not talked. I actually went back over my records to see when the last time I talked about this subject as tithing as an entire series. I told this to somebody and said, well, you talk about giving every Sunday. That's right, over the offering. But taking a whole series on it, I haven't done in over 2 years. It's almost been 3 years since I've done this. And I'm like, that's a disservice. This is a subject that we need to talk about. But this is also what I want to tell you as well. Tithing, it's not the main subject. Hello? All right, let me try that again. I thought I'd get a better response from the church on that one. Tithing is not the main subject that we should always be focused on.
Right.
Okay, that is not the major subject. Even the Bible warns us not to make it the major subject.
Right.
You know, somebody had to tell preachers that. Because we'll get to it, but Jesus speaks to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and says, you've made it the major subject, but there's other things that are heavier. Preach both of them. And they were only preaching one thing. And we're going to get into that. And so I don't want anyone to get into the mentality that I'm not going to be blessed if I don't tithe. You're going to be blessed because you are a child of God. You are the very creation of the Lord. Because there are people who don't even know Jesus, that his hand has been upon them. There are people who would have never, they would be dead today. They don't even know the Savior. And it's the Savior who kept them and made them at a place where they were able to get home at night. Oh, you don't even know. Some of you, it wasn't even, can I tell you this? This week, I went up to someone, and sometimes God gives you word of knowledge, right? And so I went up to a young man, and I'm going to, and just as soon as I see him, I said, you know what? I said, your grandmother, or your mama, I told him, I said, your mama, she knows Jesus. And he goes, he was speaking broken English, and he says, yes, she does. I said, you are alive today because that woman prayed for you.
Hey.
And he says, yes, I know. I was supposed to die. And she's the one who laid hands on me, prayed for me, and believed God that I would be healed. And I was. The doctors gave up on me. My mama went to Jesus about me. And I told him, I said, you better go home and hug your mama. Tell your mama you love her, because you would be dead if it wasn't for your mother. It was your mama praying for you that connected with heaven. Just knew it instantly in meeting him. And so this is the statement. You don't know. There are people who are praying for us that have never met us. Hello. I'm preaching good this morning. Let me tell you, there are people across the world that are praying for you to fulfill the call of God on your life. There are people who are praying for the body of Christ that they would just do what they're supposed to do. They would have everything that they need to fulfill God's call on their life. They were praying for you before you ever knew Jesus existed, or before you were ever even willing to accept Jesus as your Savior. And because there was prayer, because the saints of God are on this earth, do you recognize you bless the room when you walk in it, because you're carrying the God Most High on the inside of you. Atmospheres change simply because you are there. Oh, my Lord, I feel good this morning. You need to recognize that about yourself. Oh, if we could truly see who we are, people almost can't even handle who they are. They can't even handle who they are because they've never been able to see themselves as who they are. They see themselves as mama and daddy said that they were, or as a teacher said they were, or uncle so-and-so, or so-and-so down the street said they were. Or maybe it was even in church. Maybe it was a children's church pastor. Nobody here. But maybe the church you used to go to, maybe when you were growing up, they just told you how bad you were and how you would never amount to anything. Do you know, I got told that. Isn't that shocking? Someone told me that one time in my life. You will never amount to anything. And you know what my response was? It probably wasn't the greatest response to it. I was a child, and it probably wasn't the greatest response to an adult. But I looked him right in the eye and pointed. I said, I'll make you a liar. That was my response. And so I'm going to tell you something. When God is on the inside of you, it doesn't matter what people say about you. God will make them a liar. You want to understand? Like, God doesn't just purposely say, I'm going to make them a liar. You want to know how to be a liar? Say something that does not line up with the word of God.
Yep.
And so when you talk about people and you talk about people like they are trash, you are a liar. Because God says if you want to speak the truth, line your words up with God. You want to speak a lie? Say anything that is opposite of what God says. And when God speaks about humanity and when God speaks about individuals, he speaks about what he sees and what he placed on the inside of them to come to pass. I haven't always fulfilled or lived up to what God has called me to do. You haven't either. Neither are other people. Cut them a break.
That's right.
And begin to tell them what they are, what you see in them, what God sees in them. So you are blessed simply because you are a creation of God Most High. You are the creation of the Lord. Not that you can't do stuff that is self-destructive. Not that mankind can't do things that destructs not only this world, but us as individuals. But I'm going to tell you, you will reap blessings. You could reap more if you get in the will of God. Because like we said, there is a system. There is a way God set things up. And as we are obedient, we just step in the place where God's blessing is pouring down. And so what we want to do as a church, as individuals, is find out what God says, what God has for our life, and step in that place. Because that's where the blessing is. Not that we won't get... Look. Let's talk about the children that came out of Egypt, right? Manna fell from heaven to feed them out in the desert, right? Manna fell from heaven. They were 3 days away. They spent how many years in the desert? 40 years in the desert. Over 40 years in the desert. That was not God's best for them. God's best for them was the land that flows with milk and honey. Now, what's interesting, the first thing that happened when they got into the land that flowed with milk and honey, the manna stopped. Because that wasn't God's best for them. And there are people in the church today. I get manna every day. Yeah, you do. But God wants to work with you. He doesn't want you to have to live from miracle to miracle to miracle to miracle. Because if you're not planting seed, if you're not obeying the Lord, you're going to constantly need miracle after miracle after miracle every day of your life. But once you get into sowing and reaping, once you understand how the Bible works, and the greatest seed on the face of the earth is not your money, it's your word that's on the inside of you. It's your mouth planting the word of God. The word of God is the greatest seed you could possibly ever plant.
Amen.
Oh, I just feel like throwing things. You ever get there? All right, so the Bible has a lot to say about money. Has a lot to say about finances. It says that, you know, we shouldn't be at a place where we are subject unto mammon, our finances, because finances is the least thing we should be faithful with. Finances, you can't take it with you. Hello? When you go to heaven, you're not bringing your awesome blender. I'm trying to think of the name of that blend. I don't know. Oh, we got Vitamix. We got Ninjas. Everybody's talking. See, y'all want blenders too. I want blenders. I don't know why. I want a good blender. And then I saw the price and I figured, no, I don't want a good blender right now. That was just me. And so in all of this, there are things you're not going to be able to bring them with you. When, you know, they're just like you, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. That stuff is going to stay here and it's going to rust. You know, it's going to go back to the earth which it was made. Hello? It's not going to heaven and it ain't going to hell. And so there, it's so interesting that mankind will lease out their life for things and then work the rest of their life to try to pay it off. And so the Bible has it gives you principles that if you apply them to your life, it will cause you to excel. That's good stuff. All right. So the Bible has a lot to say about finances. And God actually warns pastors not to make the tithe the most important issue we preach on. And there's people in the church today that the reason they preach so hard about money is because they want it. It's because they want more of it. And there's also a pressure when the church is not doing well. Now, thank God, we're doing great. Everybody say amen to that. But there is a pressure that when the church doesn't have enough, that you should preach harder on finances. You know what I did? I stayed away from teaching on finances because there's a fine line and I never wanted to cross that line.
Yep.
All right. So I'm not going to try to preach to you about tithing and offering based on I want it to bless me. Y'all with me? Okay. Because I'm telling you, there are people out there. There are, and I'm not going to knock anyone by name, but I've had things mailed to me. If you will give, if you'll mail in $58, the 58 blessings will come your way within the next month. Okay, so if I give $58, 58 blessings will fall upon me. How interesting. Don't fall for that junk. If you give a certain amount, we're going to give you a bottle of oil that came from the promised land. Do you know what oil I would rather have? From KFC. I have a feeling that will bless me more than that oil that came from the promised land. And so this is junk. Now, has it worked for people? Absolutely. You want to know why? Because for the first time in their life, they release their faith on something. You know, they're struggling, and all of a sudden they hear a word and they release their faith and it blessed them, but they didn't have to fall in that line or some gimmick to get them to give. And so we're not going to have here at the church, we're not going to have, you know, gold member tithing lines. And, you know, if you're a gold member, you can sit up front and look at all my gold members. We're not going to have that. We're not going to have special prayer lines or people stand up that give certain amounts. You know, I don't like those things. They seem cheesy to me and I don't like them. Right. I'm not saying God hasn't used anyone to ever do that, but I'm just saying I don't like them personally. Let's turn to Matthew 23:23. And I'm just going to tell you this. God, I've already said it, but I'm going to say it again. God warns ministers and ministries not to make the tithe the main subject. Now, does that mean it diminishes the tithe? Absolutely not. The tithe is powerful. The tithe is powerful, just like obedience is powerful, just like not committing adultery is powerful, just like children obeying your parents is powerful, just like justice is powerful, just like mercy is powerful, just like faith is powerful. But any church that is off balance on any subject, if all we preach on is faith, 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 and we don't cover mercy and we don't cover judgment, then we're a church that's out of balance. And if we're on tithe, 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 give, 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 that's the key, that's the key, that's the key. No, Jesus is the key. Jesus is the key to your mercy. Jesus is the key to your faith. Jesus is the key to your blessing. Jesus is the key to your obedience. Because you weren't obedient before you came to Jesus. You didn't know obedience like you were supposed to know obedience until you came to Jesus. Your marriage was not as good as it could be until you know Jesus. Because the Bible tells us that we ought to be able to train others how to love their husband or wife because it doesn't come natural.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Lord Jesus. So Matthew 23:23. Are you ready? Woe unto you, the scribes and the Pharisees, hypocrites. Somebody say hypocrites.
Hypocrites.
Oh, you got to say it with some umph in it. Oh, that was much better. For ye pay tithe of the mint. I'm sorry. I heard a preacher one time mispronounce this last one. Or this second. So mint. And what's the other one? Anise. Anise. And so if you cook, it's anise and cumin. And now what are those? Those are herbs. Those are spices. It's what you cook with. And so he's saying, you scribes, you religious people, you church-going people, you've come so religious that you pay tithe on mints. And you pay tithe on all your spices in the house, your garden. Which honestly, I've had people come in with stuff from their garden. Thank you. Pretty awesome. But you know, they got to such a point where they were teaching it was law. Wait, you had a garden this year? Oh, what did you grow? Corn? Yeah, all right. You know, I didn't see any of that coming to the church. They made a law that every bit of increase in your life, you had to give a tithe on it. And they made it the major subject. And they stoned people for doing things that they had no business stoning people for. Do you realize that under the Jewish law, the rest and keep the Sabbath day holy, that if you spit on the ground that was making mud and they could drag you out in the streets and stone you, that was a law that man added to the Ten Commandments. That was a law man added. If you dragged a chair, because it wasn't hardwood floors, it was dirt. If you dragged a chair across the ground on the Sabbath, that was plowing. That's what religious people do. That's what religious people do. They make up all this junk, and they made up that if you didn't give of your garden, if you didn't give of all your increase, these things that God has blessed you with, that it was the main subject. It was the main subject of the church. And what does he continue? And he says, and have omitted the weightier or the heavier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the others out. Now, let me break this down a little bit for you. He's not saying you shouldn't have taught about tithe. He said, yes, but don't leave the others undone. All you teaching about is finances. God could see the heart. No man knows the heart except for the Lord. God could see the heart and says, your heart is dirty when it comes to finances. He was talking to the preachers. He was talking to the religious. He's like, you're trying to get more out of the people. So much that you're saying you got to give out of your garden. Isn't that interesting? And he says, you've missed the heavier, the more important subjects such as judgment, mercy, and faith. Now, I want to read this out of a different translation. How would y'all like that I show up? Because let's talk about this for a moment. Melchizedek went to Abraham to receive the tithe, right? Like the preacher, you know what kind of reputation he would have had if he would have went to his members to get the tithe, like show up at the front door. Could you imagine me showing up at your front door? Be like, hey, I just know you get paid on Friday. And so I'm here for the tithe. How about this? Hey, you went grocery shopping, you got cinnamon. I'm going to take a tenth of the cinnamon. So now, I've made a joke before when I went out to eat with my friends, and I take some French fries off their plate, and I tell them it's the tithe. That's funny. That is funny. It wouldn't be funny if I really truly believed that, but it was funny because I don't. All right. And so I want to read this out of a different translation. It's the Living Bible translation. It says, yes, you should tithe, but you should not leave out the more important things that you leave undone. Now let's turn to Malachi 3 in verse 7. You know I have to, if I'm teaching on tithe, I haven't touched this scripture yet. But I want to look at this scripture in a manner that we have not looked at in the past. I think it's interesting. I want to look at it in a manner, because this scripture bothered me to a degree because I didn't fully understand it. And when you understand it, it's like a light going off. You're like, oh, I get it now. I get it now. Are you ready? All right. So it says in verse 7, even from the days of your father, ye have gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them. Let me give you just a little bit of background on this. The people of God stopped serving God and completely turned their back on the Lord. And so he's addressing the people of the Lord. The prophet is addressing the people of the Lord. And he says, but yet ye say, wherein shall we return? Do you know, that's interesting. I think a lot of people that have served God and turned their back on the Lord, they get to a point where they say, where do I even start? Where do I even start coming back to God? Well, first, get your butt in church. That's a good one. Just start showing up on every Sunday. That's a good start right there. Where do I start? Go to church. Okay. It says, where do I start? Number 8. And this is interesting. He goes right from where do I start to will a man rob God? And most ministers, when they're talking about the tithe, they bring this up. Oh, the church is robbing God. The people of the Lord is robbing Jesus. How? How do you say we're robbing Jesus? You're not giving your tithe and you're not giving your offering. That scripture, does that bother anyone in this place except for me? Because I thought that, thank you, I'm so glad someone's true. A couple people are truthful. Children, that's one of them. And so that was a child who said, yes, that bothers me. All right. And so in all of this, it used to bother me because I thought, how do you rob the Lord? Isn't it him who says, I own the cattle of 1,000 hills? Isn't it him who says, I own everything? I created it all. It's all mine anyway. So how do I come to the Lord and rob him? So how does somebody come to God and say, Lord, stick them up. I want all your money. All right, Lord, stick it up. See that beat, that cattle over there? I want at least one of them. You know, how do you rob God? And ministers teach it almost to the mentality that you rob the Lord You take his, it's almost like you hold God hostage. Lord, I'm not giving you tithe this week. I'm not giving nothing in church. Actually, I'm quite mad. Pastor said so-and-so, the music was too loud. Sister so-and-so said something about me. So until you fix that, Lord, I'm not giving. Okay, can I tell you this? Okay, we're non-denominational, right? But I grew up in denominations. Anyone else grow up in denominations? Anyone grew up that was a denomination that was not Catholic? Anyone else? Okay, so we see some hands. All right, this was the mentality of the board of the church I grew in. Are you ready? If they didn't like what the pastor was preaching, or if they didn't like the pastor and they wanted to get rid of him, you know, the board would come together and this is what they would say. Let's stop tithing. We'll put all our money in an account. We'll starve him out. When he leaves and we get a new one, then we'll give all the money back to the church. You want to talk about wicked and evil? That is wicked and evil. What is that called? Manipulation. The Bible says manipulation is as witchcraft. That is evil, evil, evil. Makes you want to fight, don't it? All right, does me too. Thank God we're saved, right? But will a man rob God? And we're going to get into how you rob God, but I want to continue to read. Will a man rob God? Ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithe and in offering. You are cursed with a curse. Let me stop right there. That's Old Testament, right? That was before the blood of Jesus. So the blood of Jesus cancels all curses. The blood of Jesus, you might say, well, it's my fault that I'm cursed. That's fine. It can be your fault. Really, the majority of stuff that happens to us anyway is our fault. But it's Jesus who cancels our debt and gets rid of our curses. So I don't want you walking out of here, if I don't tithe, I'm cursed. Be like, that's the least of our problems for most of us. No one said amen on that one. I really thought I'd get an amen or two out of that one. Will a person rob God? Okay, right there. But ye say, wherein have I robbed God, or robbed thee in tithe and offering? Verse 9, you're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. So God is speaking to him and said, this whole nation has turned their back on me. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, or into the house of God, that where there may be meat in my house. And prove me wherein, saith the Lord of hosts. You don't really see God say a whole lot, prove me. And when it comes to tithe and offering, he says, prove me. Because a lot of principles of God are on faith. Like you have, when it came to tithe and offering, he said, prove me. Just do it and see that I don't bring the blessing unto your life. All right. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. There's a blessing that comes with the tithe and offering. All right. And shall destroy the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vines cast her fruit before time in the field, saith the Lord. You want to know how the testimony that we heard, or I talked about earlier, they talked about, nothing's changed. We're giving the tithe, and we just have more left over. You want to know why? The devourer is rebuked. Stuff lasts longer. Budget stretches. You know, and you don't think stuff can stretch? I've driven 30 miles, this is horrible, on empty. You better pray for those fumes. Never. You don't want to test like that. You don't want to do that. But if you're ever in that situation, you want to be able to say, Lord, have mercy. Forgive me of my ignorance. But will a man rob God? Now, this is interesting. The earth is his and the fullness thereof. That is the word, is it not? So I want to look at robbing God in a manner that you might have never thought about it before. All right? So how do you rob the Lord? You don't hold him hostage. You don't back him. And this is it too. Not only do you not hold him hostage, you don't have him override things. Be like, Lord, I'm a tither. I've given. So you're now in a corner where you have to bless me. I'm a tither. You know, I give my finances. You go to the mailbox the next day. Lord, my blessing's not here. What happened? Because your tither does not back God into a corner to make him bless you, and because you're a tither, if you don't tithe, doesn't mean you hold God hostage because everything's his anyway. So I want to bring something up here. What if how we rob God is that when we're obedient, we're in a place for God to bless us. And the robbing is not the finances. But what if the robbing God is him doing good things for us? What if the robbing God is not, I'm taking finances out of the kingdom of heaven. But what if robbing God is God wants to bless you. God wants you to be obedient to his word. He wants to get you into good things. And when you step off the path, this is, the Lord says, you do these things, you'll make it there. But you step over here. He says, Lord, I'm not doing that. What you rob God is not of finances, not of gold, which he has made, but you rob him from the opportunity of continuing blessing you. What about that? This came to me when I was telling Eliana. I was telling her, we were downstairs in the basement. I'm like, if she started getting, what is that word again? Will you give them money? Allowance. I don't know. It's such a foreign concept to me. You might as well be speaking Greek. Well, I know more Greek than I do about allowance. So she started getting allowances. And when she sometimes whines. Y'all don't whine, do you? Ooh, I can't stand whining. Whining drives me nuts. And you know it's fake, because just as soon as you walk out of the room, it's done. Yeah. You know, it's like, I've got to get up. He can't, if he can't hear me whine, he doesn't know I'm upset. And then gets in the other room and says, stop it, stop it. And you walk out of the room and they stop and get up and go into the other room to whine. And so I'm here like, every time you whine, you got to go into your little jar and you got to get me a quarter and you're going to have to pay me to listen to your whining. So I take, yeah, that is good. Oh, I know it, right? Woo! That's a godly, yes, Lord. And so there was a time that I told her, I said, there were like 3 quarters, like 75 cent, and boom, 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 boom in a row. And I felt so bad. I wanted to give her another quarter, right? I wanted to give her quarters back. And so we went down to the basement. There were some toys. I said, Ellie, if you'll clean all this up, I'll give you a quarter. I'll give you a quarter. And it wasn't a whole lot of stuff. And she looked at me. She picked up one thing and she put it away. And she goes, Daddy, I'm tired. She was running around like crazy before, you know, she had to clean. And I'm like, baby, if you clean, okay, okay. She picks up another toy. She puts it away. Daddy, I just want to lay down. I'm sleepy. Like, well, lay down. And so she laid down for a minute. She got up, and then the toys that she put away, she took more toys out. Now she's playing with all the toys, and the whole room is a mess. And it hit me. She just robbed me from giving to her because I'm not going to violate the word that I've already told her. I'm not going to violate the word that I already told her. How do we rob God? God says, you do these things. You will open the windows of heaven and I will pour out a blessing from you. You don't rob God of your finances. You rob him of an opportunity to bless his children. Is he going to bless you no matter what? Absolutely. Manna fell from heaven, but that's not God's best. He wants to work with you, through you. He doesn't want to just absolutely manifest things to you, because that there's once you get a miracle, that's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. And not that we're not ever where we need miracles. Miracles are great. I've had miracles. We've all had experienced miracles. Miracles are great, but it's kind of over right there. It's kind of done. It's seed, what? Time and what? Harvest. So God uses people. He wants to use people. He wants to move through you. He wants to get you to a place where he can bless you. And now, we all know this scripture. If you are willing and what? Obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. No good thing. This is a different verse. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk upright. God wants to bless you, but he blesses the willing and the obedient. Amen. Now, why did God make it this way? I don't know. Like, we've discussed this. Why does God say lay hands on the sick instead of put your foot on the sick? I have no idea. One, I have a couple reasons why I would think so. But, you know, why did God say lay hands on the sick and not put your elbow on the sick? It's just the way God made things. We can ask him that when we get there. And I'm sure he'll have an answer. I don't know what it is, but he'll have an answer. But this is the deal. He set up a way of doing things that bring blessing into our life. And he wants us to be obedient. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. I had somebody met one time, told me, they said, oh, they work for a ministry, right? And they said, oh, our ministry is so amazing. And I'm sure it was. It was amazing ministry. And it was. They did great things. They said, as a ministry, we fast every other day. We fast half the year. I'm like, that's awesome. And he's like, yes, we have seen so many great things. I want you to know right now, I am not bashing fasting at all. I fast. There's times that I think we all should fast, but this was the deal. Half the year. So the fasting was what was making it happen for them. Not Jesus, but the fasting was making it happen for him. And I asked him, I said, how many days are you obedient? And he goes, what? Like, how many days do you just obey God? It's like, well, why would you ask that? Because obedience is greater than sacrifice. So let's not be so much caught up in the doing as who it is. What we're doing is just getting to the place the Lord has called us to, whether it's through fasting, but obedience is what gets us there. I think you should be obedient to fast when you feel that you're called to a fast. You should be obedient to give when God says to give. You should be obedient to show love when God says to show love. You should be obedient to show mercy, judgment, raising your children. You should be obedient in all these things. You should be obedient single, and you should be obedient married. Oh, that's a good amen right there. So we should be obedient to the things that God has called us to. Amen? Tithing does not get God in a corner to bless you, and not tithing does not hold God hostage. I'm going to say that probably more than a couple more times. My wife says that she hates when I constantly repeat myself, but in church is probably the only place I can get away with it. But I want to drive that point home. I don't want it, because it's been taught to an extent that when we tithe, that's the key. Jesus is the key. He's always the key. Just be obedient to what Jesus has told us to do. Okay? Jesus is the one who brings it all to pass. We're not buying a blessing. You're not giving so God saying, hey, look, they gave me some money, so now I'm going to bless them. That's not what it's about. It's obedience and the issues of the heart. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Malachi, the first thing they did when they returned to God was they had a heart change, and then there was an action right after, which was giving. It was giving. I'm not saying that's the way everybody's going to do, but there is a heart change. That function will always be there. If you've come back to the Lord, there's a heart change, and then there's an action. Whether it's not going to the same places you used to go, not hanging out with the same people you used to hang out, not doing the same things you used to do, there is a heart change, and then there's action. Action doesn't prove the heart change. The actions come because of the heart change. We do good deeds not because we're Christian. We do good deeds because that's who we are as people. Apple tree produces what?
Apples.
Lemon trees produces what?
Lemons.
Pine trees produces what?
Pine.
Y'all got it right. Excellent. I was hoping somebody would say pine. And that's true. It does produce pine as well. But in all of this, these trees do not produce these things because it has something to prove to the world. Mm-hmm. They do it just because it's what they are. It's their DNA. It's in their makeup. It's in their absolute makeup. You are a blessing to all of humanity, not to prove that Jesus lives on the inside of you. If I don't do these, because the church has stated, if you don't do these things, you're not saved. No, hello, you get saved and these things come into existence. They follow you. Just like good works follow Jesus everywhere he went. Good works follow you everywhere you go. Now, where did I tell y'all to turn? 9 and 13, right? All right. Do you not know? Now, this is New Testament. Do you not know that they which ministered about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Now, what do we have here? We have the man of God talking about tithe and offerings. This is exactly talking about tithe and offerings. He's bringing an Old Testament principle into New Testament, and this is what he's saying. Now, the offerings have changed, but what happens from it stays the same. Are you ready? I've had people ask me, how do you get paid? The church pays me. Well, who sets your salary? The board sets my salary. So I have no process in that. And can I tell you this too? I refuse the majority of the salary that I'm approved for. Why? Because I want them to go to different places. I want them to go to outreach ministry. I want it to go to children's church. I want it to go to better environment in here. There's places that I see that it's needed more than at my house. Okay? That's just a personal thing that I've done. The ministry is set up in a way that I'm not the one that decides all these things. I can refuse it because anybody can pretty much refuse anything they want to. So in all of this, what I'm bringing up here is can you pull my scripture back up for me? 1 Corinthians 9 and 13. It states that the men of God, so that what we have here, he's bringing back to an Old Testament principle. The Old Testament, which he's talking about the men of God around the altar in the Holies of Holies. So who did we have in that area? We had the Levites, which had the people who worked at the altar. Now the altar, what happened at the altar? Anyone? Sacrifices happened at the altar. So basically, Levites were excellent butchers. They were fantastic butchers. They would prepare, and they know how to prepare the offerings unto the Lord in the way God said they must be prepared. And then you had the high priest that was in the holies, and they would take the offerings into the holies of holies. And so you had men that prepared the offering. Now, people did not give their animal. They did not come in with their bull. They did not come in with their turtle dove. They did not come in with all their great offerings, their lambs, and give it straight to God. And we've already read this scripture. You give it unto man, unto flesh. And that person is giving, and you're giving unto God, right? And so he's bringing this principle into modern day, into after Jesus Christ. So he's saying, this is done, and it's still done today, and the men of God live off of it. So I've had people ask, how do you get paid? People give to the church, and the church gives to me. Hello? And it's set by somebody besides me. So let's just talk. Y'all just got really uncomfortable. Did y'all feel that? Not some of you, but to me, it's like the whole crowd went, like, we're talking about money. I'm nervous. I am very nervous right now. No, look, it's just a natural part of it. And I thank you. Oh, my Lord, do I ever thank you. You know who else thanks you? Corey thanks you. Annette thanks you. The ministry, Pastor Tim and Rena, thank you. There's nobody in this ministry I feel gets paid anywhere close to what they should. Annette could make, she works for the church. She volunteers for the church too. How many days a week are you there from Tuesday to Friday, right? And she doesn't even get paid for all the days. She volunteers most of them. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That's a great heart. So thank you so much. I love you. You're family to me. I can't talk about you anymore. I don't want to cry in front of people. So, but she thanks you. It's a blessing to her. It's a blessing to the ministry. Not only is it a blessing to us, but it goes out beyond here. It goes out to outreaches. It goes out to preach the gospel. We give to other ministries. There's some churches that we give to. I had a missionary tell me, if it wasn't for what your church does, there were times that we thought we would have to close the doors. So we keep the lights on. We keep the gospel preaching in France. And we make sure the gospel gets down to South America. We make sure the gospel gets out to China and other places. And it's because you're giving, and people in this world will thank you. So you can rob God from an opportunity from blessing you. And how else do you rob God? You rob people from the opportunity of being blessed. And you rob people. You rob the minister. You rob the ministry from going to other nations in the world. And that's another way you rob God. When you rob people from what God tells you to do to them, you essentially are robbing the Lord at the same time. That's what it comes down to. That is gospel truth. That is gospel truth. And can I say this? Like I said from the beginning, church, you are high tithers in this church. You are very high tithers. We would never be able to do what we do without you. And this is not a slam. This is a praise on this church. Y'all give, and you give well. And I am, as your pastor, and very appreciative of what you do. Thank you. So that's another way that you can rob God, is by not obeying. Because when you do obey, he's using, men shall give, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give. So when you give, you have no idea who you're blessing.
That's right.
You have no idea whose life you're turning around that would have never heard the gospel for no other reason than you were faithful to give.
Right.
We talked about this outreach where we had a letter. Said, you know, she was having a hard day and somebody just blessed her. And I want you to get out of the mentality that finances is the only thing that blesses people. Sometimes just being a human being to another human being is a humongous blessing. There are people in this earth that I am absolutely without a shadow of a doubt, because of science, I know they're Homo sapiens, right? They have the flesh, they have a heartbeat, they have DNA. But some people I question, they're not part of humanity at all. Being a human being to other people, showing the love of God. When we don't show that side of God, we rob the Lord.
Yes.
All right, so verse 14. Even so hath the Lord ordained that which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. You don't like the fact that ministers, I've heard people, I don't like the fact that so-and-so gets paid from the church. It never happened here. It was at the denomination I was a part of. I'm like, well, then you don't like the way God ordained it to be. That's God's ordination, not man's ordination. That is the Lord. That is what God has said. And if you don't like what God has said, then take it up with God. Pray to him about it and see which one of you comes out with the minds changed. So what he's done here is he's taken an Old Testament principle and he says it's still operating in the New Testament. It's still operating. People will say, there ain't no tithing in the New Testament. Oh, yes, there is. We're just scratching the surface. We're going to go into it more as we go. In the New Testament, people in the New Testament tithed and gave offering. They gave, I'll tell you, we, as far as the nation, when you compare churches, y'all are great givers. Great givers. But the original church, the first church, the church that was put together right after Jesus ascended and the Holy Spirit fell, they sold their home and gave everything to the church. They're here like, there's such a need for the gospel to go around the world, I'm going to sell everything I own. Now, aren't you glad that's not what pastor's asking you to do? Because I don't want everybody trying to bunk up at my house. Oh, Lord. And see, what's great is the Lord doesn't even ask for more than what we can do. God being God, could ask for more than what we could do. He could make it hard on us, but that's not what he's asking us to do. That's not what he's asking us to do. Now, Hebrews 7 and 8, I've already read this, but I'm going to read it to you again. And here, that men die receive tithe, but receiveth of them whom it is witness that he lived. Now, what it's saying is that if you want to give to God, you got to give to men. You got to give to mankind. I've had people argue, well, I'm not giving tithe and offering because I give it to a man and I can't even see what they do with it. Yeah, to an extent, you're absolutely right on. But that's not what it's about. It's not about giving it unto man. It's about the heart and the obedience. Even if you, in the past, and I understand, how many's been hurt by a pastor in your life? God, please don't let it be me. No, but if I did, I'm so sorry. But, you know, it's a fact of life. But I've been hurt by pastors. People have been hurt by pastors. And they let that hurt hold on to them. And they take it. They take that offense with them. And we've had in the 80s, in the 90s, even recently in the 1000s, where pastors made huge mistakes and people leave churches and they're never giving again because they use the offering for ungodly things. Well, that has nothing to do with you and has everything to do with them. God's not going to judge you over that. He'll judge them over that. Right. You be faithful where you are. And trust God. Can I tell you, there's been things that I have done that I could not understand why at the time. Could not understand why. Just being led by the Spirit of God and just being obedient where I knew. And in the natural, it looked like I had every right to stop doing whatever it was I was doing or get out and run and do everything else. Leave and drop something. But it was God that when after I was faithful brought me back and said, oh, this is why. This is why I had to be obedient. It made a way for somebody else. Right. Sometimes it's not about you or your ministers, it's about somebody else. Right. And it made a way for somebody else. Oh, man, I just wish you could get the understanding of how important it is for you to be in your place and to be obedient to the thing of God. Because it is about you and it ain't about you. It is about you because it'll bring you into greater blessing. Because there is never a time that we find anyone who tithed that financial blessing didn't come their way. God just hooks it together. I will open a window of heaven. You know that old song? Windows of heaven are open. The blessing is flowing tonight. I've got joy. Joy. I'm the only one. He took my old tattered garment, gave me a robe up your white. There's a reason I don't sing. I'm feasting on manna out of heaven. I got to sing, finish it. That's why I'm fasting tonight. All right, so men take the offerings, but you're not giving to man, you're giving unto God. Hebrews, right here, another place of tithing. Another place of tithing. Here, he is in the temple. Here, men, he's in the church. Right here, in the church. Men receive the tithe that will die. I bet that pleased the pastor when some traveling minister made that statement. What's he going to do? Try to knock me off? No. Men receive the tithe and they die. But it's not about giving it unto men. It's about giving it unto God. And if you're obedient, if the pastor was corrupt and did what he wasn't supposed to do, it does not violate the blessing. It does not violate the fact that you were obedient to God. Oh, now, he also says in 1 Corinthians, you don't have to turn there, 1 Corinthians 16 and 1. Now, concerning the collections of the saints, as I have ordered you, and that's funny, he uses the word order. He says, I have given order to the churches. Even so, unto the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him. What is we talking about? Tithe and offering, first fruits. He's saying, for those who got paid once a week, and that's still kind of common today, he's saying, at the first of the week, you know, when you get paid, take the first fruits, take the tithe and offering off the top of that, lay it aside as God has prospered you, that there be no gathering when I come. That the church is not dependent upon taking a second offering to pay the man of God when he comes. He's saying, if you do it every Sunday, that when I come, there will be no strain on the church and there will be no need for the church to have to take up another offering or have to really pray and believe God for a miracle because they can't afford to pay for a guest minister to come in town. And so he's talking about tithe in 1 Corinthians 16. Proverbs 3 and 9, I'm ending right here. I'm done. My time is over and I am done. He says, Proverbs 3 and 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruit of all thine increase. So this is where he's talking about. This is the scripture that he's pulling this from. He didn't pull this out of thin air. He's actually quoting the Old Testament saying, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. And so he said right here, when your increase once a week, what God has increased you, prospered you, that increase, put it aside, give to the church. He's quoting from here. In verse 10, so that thy barns shall be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Look, I want to let you know something. Tithing is not a magic potion or a magic wand. That the first time you do it. Now, I've heard of this happening. I've heard of miracles that when people tithe, instantaneous. We've had a testimony that was put on Facebook just very recently of God canceling over $7,000 worth of debt. I love that. Just overnight, boom, gone, gone. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I love it. I absolutely love it. But I don't want to, this is not a magic potion. This is like any other thing that God tells us to do. You have seed, you have time, and then you have harvest. The only way to live with continuous harvest is to continually sow seed and to be obedient to the word of God. God tells us in the New Testament in plenty of places to tithe and give offering. But I want you to understand that it is not about, you know, it's not about giving unto man, it's about giving unto God, and it's obedience to the heart. When the heart falls in line with the Lord, actions always follow. The actions do not prove that you are saved. They're not look at me, I'm saved. Look at all what I do. No. It's just what you do. It's almost second nature. It's a habit. It's when you drive. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever just wondered, oh, how did I get here? I don't even honestly remember some of the trip. It becomes such habit that it's like breathing. It's just what we do. It's what we do. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that as we are obedient in all areas of our life, we know that increase is coming our way. So, Father, we thank you in advance for blessing.